have them. You must have them. You must have them. They are yours. They are yours. You must have them. You must have them. You must have them. They are yours. They are yours.
Lord Jesus, for the sake of your reward, we step into the call in our lives. So you will have them, Jesus. You will have them. They are yours, God. We thank you, Lord, for the call on our hearts to walk in your love, to walk with your fire, to release who you are all around the world, Lord, that we would not shrink back, hold back anything, God, from the perfect, perfect love that you have, Lord. We will not be too busy. We will not be too distracted. We will have your call first and foremost in our hearts, Jesus, above anything, above anyone, above anything in our whole lives, and even our own personal desires. Lord, that we would be so saturated by your presence, so intoxicated by your love, so overwhelmed by your glory and your grace, that nothing inside, nothing from the outside, nothing would distract or deter us from the fulfillment of you must have them, you will have them. For the sake of your reward, Lord Jesus, we are your reward, Jesus. They are your reward, that the gospel of the kingdom shall go and cover the waters of the, cover the glory, will cover the waters like the waters of the earth as the water covers the sea. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So we thank you, Father, that we have the privilege of saying yes and amen. Thank you, Lord, as we share who you are today. Oh, God, that your love would be so transferable, that everyone in here today be so touched to the depths of how great you are, how amazing your love is, that we would fall deeper in love with you today. With that go in our hearts that is unstoppable, Lord, that we would not go down the wrong path, that we would not embrace anything that's not from your hand. God, that we would say to you that everything is counted as loss for the sake of knowing you. All things, all things, all things, all things. And that you would be the one that we would gain, and we would not stop, and we would not live in any kind of land that is not true and real. So I thank you, Lord, for the reality and the power of your word today and the demonstration of who you are. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have and the honor we have is to lift your name and flow with you. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. We love you so much. Let me just give a big shout for Jesus. Yeah. Big shout for Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for the stirring in our hearts today. Just going to ask the, yes, Lord, for your glory, God. For your glory, for your kingdom, God. Oh. Thank you, God. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We cheer for you, King Jesus. Oh. Yeah. Amen. Hey, Mo's team, come on up here for just a second. Just come up here. We just want to say thank you to everyone in here for supporting these crazy people that I got to hang with for 3 weeks. And there's two more. I think they're going up on the wall as Andy stuck them up there. That Joe and Amanda from Brazil. I talked with both of them this morning because it's hard to say goodbye. When you live together, you eat together, you sleep together, you do laundry together, you do crusade together, you do everything together, and you just love Jesus together, and it's so much fun. So there's a picture at the airport yesterday or day before in Maputo, and that's Joe Kabeji on the left and Amanda on the right, and it's Joe, it's Amanda's, I said it the other way around. Okay, Amanda's on the left, Joe's on the right, I know better. Sorry, girls, if you listen to this, I had to look up there. But anyway, talk with both of them this morning, and it's Amanda's birthday, so we got to sing to her Papa Bill and I, which is really cool. And it's Ashley and Denny's first wedding anniversary, too. Woo! So they had just such a preparation to celebrate their first anniversary. It was so nice. That was so cool. And we got to celebrate Jonas's birthday with him over the phone, just singing, you know. So happy birthday again to Jonas. So Mama Brenda was with us. So it was just really a great trip. It was amazing, and you're going to hear a lot of things today. But there's a fire in my belly. There's fire in my bones that just keeps getting stronger and stronger. And we have a little recording just to start all this off from Jo Kabeji. I just talked to her this morning. I said, just send something short, which it's very short. But turn it up, and we can hear that. I think you have it. So you can hear from Jo. Again, Jo is on the right. And they're in Brazil, and she's so excited. She's been texting or WhatsApping all kinds of things. But this is really short, just to send her greetings. So you can listen to that in a moment. So yay, God. So much fun. So great, the things that the Lord did. It was so, so remarkable. So here we go. We're just ready to say goodbye to them. Annie, play it now. Real loud.
Hi, guys. I love you all. I miss you all. And I hope that you stay on the fire of Jesus, the fire of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing more important than to stay in the presence of the Lord. So keep the fire.
Amen. So keep the fire. So you guys can sit down. We're going to share in just a second. I just wanted to thank you all for supporting everything that we're doing over there and what God's doing. We're going to try to bring things together so we can connect all the dots, because there's so many different threads to this trip. And we've been going to Mozambique since 2003. We have a vested interest there. We've been in every province in the entire country except for one, and we've ministered, which we don't know of anyone other than maybe one or two or three people who've done that yet. And so God has given us that. So he's given us territory there, and there's so many things that we want to share. There is a picture I want to put up there also of a stone that Haley's brother is bringing us at her apartment, but a stone that we found at a place called Mabalani, and we were just having some impartation, and it just looks like the state of Ohio. So when you see this, Troy, come up and show your shirt. For those, maybe the kids wouldn't know what the shape of Ohio is. Check this out. And he's got an Ohio Awaken the Dawn shirt on. We found that just during our impartation. Is that cool? So, hello, we're going to bridge the gap, whatever it is that God's doing. We did bring it back, sweetheart. It's on its way. It was at Haley's apartment, just didn't get in the right place at the right time. So, praise the Lord. So, here we are, and we're going to let you see that. But we also had another stone that looked like the state of Ohio that was in the wall of another place that we had gone. So the Lord prophetically is showing us things. And one of the first things that I want to start this out with is to show, because the kids are here and we have some very special things for them. But I want to show you my shoes that you see me wear all the time, because what was on my feet here goes to Mozambique. But I love these shoes. They help me stay steady when I need to be steady. But it was really cool. When we were in our big tents, guys, not our little tents, which are called bug tents, but when we were in our big tents, I usually, and in fact always, except for this one time, I always bring them inside my tent, because you just never know what's going to go on outside of the tent once everyone's sleeping. But it was raining a lot, and so I was trying, and it was very, very cold. So this is my reasoning anyway. So I took these shoes off. They were really wet, and I put them right outside my tent, and I was going to go get them. I was just trying to get something warm for my feet. So I was like, oh, took them off, started moving through the tent, found something to keep my feet warm, and then something else in the tent happened, and I needed to fix that. So I didn't remember. I fell into the sleeping bag and went right to sleep. Then my shoes were outside. Remember, they were really wet. So in the middle of the night, it started raining again. And when it, you know, usually you sleep through the rain. And sometimes, and Darlene knows this and others, where we've been in rainstorms and crazy stuff happens, like water fills your, you know, comes over your feet and up and over your sleeping bag and things like that. And we've had floods. And it's just kind of interesting and fun. So I didn't know what was going to happen, but it was raining a lot. So the first thing on my mind was, oh, my shoes. What was I thinking? I need to get those inside. Even though they're wet, they'll dry out eventually. Go get your shoes. So I opened up my screen, and I like looked outside, and they were gone. It's like, oh, my gosh, where's my shoes? I need my shoes. I don't have any other tennis shoes or anything. And if somebody needed them, that's nice, but that's not the way to do it. So my shoes were taken, and it's like, Lord, what do I do with that? And I had this big flash screen Pastor Bill gave me that lights up a whole room. So I took that, and I shined it outside. And I thought, well, maybe somebody moved them for some reason. No, they were taken. They were stolen. And so it's like, oh, my gosh, what do I do? So I'm looking around, kids, for my shoes. And I thought, well, maybe I brought them inside and forgot. So I'm shining in my tent looking for the shoes. They're gone. So I had to go to the bathroom. So I went to find a tree, and I came back, and I had my flashlight, and there's just nothing in front of my tent. So I got in bed, and before I got in bed, I said, Jesus, please bring me my shoes. I need my shoes. Thank you. Good night. So I laid in bed in my tent, in my sleeping bag, and the first thought that came in my mind, I was telling Pastor Bill this, couple times, because it makes me cry every time I tell it. I don't know if I'll cry today, but it does. And so the first thought in my mind was, well, we could go to ShopRite and we could get a new pair of shoes. They wouldn't be as good treads probably, but we could do that because we've got some climbing to do tomorrow. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, that thought is not for me, so don't think on it. Don't analyze it. Don't even let that thought do anything other than be rid out of your mind. Don't think on that thought that's coming into your mind. So I said, I won't think that way, Jesus. I already asked you to bring them back. And I went right to sleep. And I refused that thought. The power of doing that is so important. So I went to sleep. And I got up in the morning. There they were, right in front of my tent. And they were returned. And I know that was a miracle. It was not sleepwalking. These are my shoes. So all I said was, Jesus, thank you. Bring me my shoes, please. Thank you. I love you. Good night. And refused any other thought. And there are my shoes. So can you just give God a big thank you, Jesus. You may not think that's a big deal, but the enemy is stealing from us all the time. And the Lord wants us to know. And I made a mistake, and interestingly, I always bring them into the tent. And this is the one time since 1996, probably, I didn't bring them into the tent that I'm aware of. And so it's like, wow, the one time. But the enemy took advantage of that. So I don't know what happened, what angels or what was going on, but they were right there in the morning, and they were not there the night before. So praise the name of Jesus. I just wanted to show you that. So Haley, when your brother comes with that, just bring it up, okay? We want to start the sharing. We have a great program for all the kids through Green Light Missions, and they're going to go in the back. But any of the parents, any of you parents who would like your kids to sit in here, we have tremendous things to share, and it will be a faith builder. And if you would prefer they go in the back, that's fine too for Green Light Missions. So I'm asking that you would make that consideration. The kids will not be able to hear all the testimonies here. They'll hear some things in the back. But that's up to you. You can decide that. Well, we're going to start here in just a minute with CISA. We want to show all the boys this and girls, even if they're going to be released to Kingdom Land, because we want you to see this. So we're going to start with that. Andy has that set up, and I think both Andys. And we're going to show what Pastor Jose, who's one of the leaders that works with Heidi and Roland, you know that, and works with us closely, what's going on with Sunshine Iris Soccer Academy, S-I-S-A, Sunshine Iris Soccer Academy. We're very connected with these young guys, and I just want to tell you, when you see them on this video, there are three teams in this soccer academy. Each team has 17 boys. These are street guys. These are kids who don't have a chance. These are kids who have lived either on the streets or they're in a village and they don't have any help to do anything. It's going to move them along. So Pastor Jose started SISA, Sunshine Iris Soccer Academy, a few years ago. And we are partners in every way, so we partner with that. Okay? And there are about 100 boys. It used to be 300 when the kids just came in kind of wild off the streets. And now they've been, you know, it's kind of whittled down to the ones who are more serious. And there are 100 of them. And we support them. And we thank you guys for soccer shoes, for donations, for the shirts that you're going to see here. Not this year, but last year, we gave them blue shirts. And Carly did such a great job designing and coming up with the emblem for SISA from a graphic that was sent to her. And then when we got in country last year, the girls put the emblems on these shirts. So the boys had them on when we went to see them. Today, they are in the semifinals, okay, for another cup, to win the cup in Mozambique. There are about 3 or 4 different cups. They've won one of them on the Maputo Cup. This is another branch of that, another division. So they're in the semifinals today because they won the game last week that we got to be part of, kind of. We were doing a couple different things. But we got to encourage them, give them the soccer shoes, give them soccer balls, Magia balls, which are really good, and then others that are, you know, still helpful, but not the top of the heap. So we've been doing that and getting donations, and it's a really big deal. This is internationally going. This team, just so that you know, this SISA team beat this team last week that was undefeated. And this undefeated team was really ticked off. They weren't happy. So there were things that they were moving in that weren't good. But this team ended up going to Portugal this week, not the SISA team. So the SISA boys won this game as the underdogs, ha, not with Jesus. And if they win this match, which is going on right now, they will go to the finals next week. I think it's next week, to win another cup. So having that, now you boys, maybe you don't understand all of that's okay. But take a look at this, and we're going to show you that before we share other things. Because this is part of our trip, but there's a whole lot more. Hi, we're here on the SISA Land Sunshine Iris Soccer Academy on July 23rd, 2018. Pastor Jose, tell us about the building. Tell us about the church, what the Lord's done.
Well, this is amazing because God said the first thing that has to be built is the church. And then to see this church getting built like this is an amazing thing. So these are the first thing. And then after this, we are going to the dormitories. And then we're going to have also a school where the boys are going to study. We're going to have also the mission house where the missionaries gonna come and stay in. So
many things have been developing this year. Today was a very exciting day because we got water to actually pump from the top all the way through. So we're really excited about that. Anything you want to say about this new development with the water?
Wow, praise the Lord. God has been good because we had the first pump that was broken. And then, as you can see, we have a new pump. You know, I want to just thank God for the partners, Frontline Ministries, just blessed with the new pump.
This was so huge.
That's great.
This is a very exciting time of acceleration. Pastor Jose, let's talk a little bit about the boys. What's going on with the teams?
Well, we have our boys competing in the championship in Maputo. So we are associated to the Soccer Association of Maputo, and our boys are doing very, very well. They are in second position, and they are in 2 games to be in the final of João Albazin Cup, and that is amazing because these are the boys without nobody to take care of them. And when they come to develop their skills with us, we are seeing, you know, God doing great things, and we are blessed with them.
These boys are so special. They're so full of life. They had a wonderful game on Saturday, and they won. And it was so, so exciting. So it was part of the championship. So things are moving. There's development in these 60 acres to be able to take care of housing the boys and those who are visiting. And they're being trained up also as future missionaries with a vocation, as well as professional soccer players. This is amazing. So thank you for your partnership, and thank you for everything. We invite you to continue to seek the Lord so that you can sow into this amazing vision from the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You are hearing the message here. We're just excited to see God do this. So if you want to be a part of this, please just do your part, because we are here to do our part. God bless you.
Amen. I want to thank Troy, who was an amazing overall team leader on this team. I'm telling you what, this guy, I mean, he's so personable and so knowledgeable and so filled with the fire of God. And everybody's nodding who was there, let alone his wonderful abilities in Portuguese. It's like, go Troy. He was off the bus again. He's going to get bread. He's going to get this and that. But Troy is an integral part of our leadership and our team, and we could not do this trip without him. He was amazing, so thank you. That's the truth. And Andy, too. I don't know where you are. Come on up, Andy. Andy was always doing something to help Troy. So Andy was amazing. And we had other leaders, too. We had Ashley and Tiana, SWAT leaders, so they did a great job. So thank you, Ashley and Tiana, for that. So we don't usually do this. I just want to give you a hug and acknowledge you guys this way, but I really want to, because it was a fast-moving, different kind of trip. And maybe Troy can and Andy can explain a little bit about that before we have individual people sharing. And was there any video that you wanted to show? Okay. All right, well, it's time for the kids can be released to Kingdom Land. I'm getting the program here. So, yes, I mentioned to the parents, if you want your kids to stay, they can leave at any time if they've had enough. But if you want them to stay, they're more than welcome to. We have lots of videos and lots of pictures to share in here. So it's up to you. Okay.
So, well, this year was an amazing trip. It was different in some ways because we actually... Usually, once we start and get out into the countryside, we're out there and we're gone and we come back eventually. And this year, we actually had the opportunity to come back. Pastor Mary Pat was a part of a conference that was at Zimpedo at the Iris Children's Home and location there where they're teaching pastors, as well as it was the conference bringing from all around the area. So we actually saw a lot of churches that we've ministered to throughout the lower provinces, Gaza, Inhambane, and Maputo area. So we got to see a lot of those leaders of some that we weren't going to get to go to this year. So it was great to get to see them. But then at the same time, we did a revival meeting in another church that some people are going to be sharing about in Maputo. It was the first time for the team, but Pastor Mary Pat had preached there a few years back. And then we went back out again into the wide open. But a lot of quick moving time. So as Pastor Mary Pat said, we only set up our large tents a couple times in this trip. Well, one time in particular, and then one time to dry them out after they were soaking wet from the one time we used them. So you got to store them dry. It was a different thing with the conferences and stuff, but just neat seeing the Lord's progression and just how, again, so many places that we've been throughout Mozambique, especially in the lower provinces, getting to connect with all of them at the same time and keep running into them. And Nyabete was there, Pastor Denizio and his wife and everything. So really incredible that way. But I think if the rest of the team that is a part of the first group wants to come up here, that's still here. Who are you? That would be Tiana and Amanda. And I'm going to have some team members just share some different things that really were highlights for them personally or just highlights on this trip. and then we'll go from there.
It's so nice to be back and see all your beautiful faces. Well, as Pastor Mary Pat said, it was a very, very different trip. I can't even describe. We had a smaller team, so there was a lot more movement, but it was just amazing. There was a lot of fire released through impartation, through the Crusades, and it was just awesome. So what I want to talk about is one of my favorite subjects. We had two team members from Brazil, this time, as Pastor Mary Pat said, Amanda and Joe. And I just want to say they really caught the vision of fire. Joe has been on many trips with us before. Amanda, not as many. Joe's been on 4, and Amanda, I think, 2 trips with us before, right? And Amanda barely speaks any English. She did really well this trip to understand it, but she doesn't speak it very well. But Joe speaks English very well, but both of them come from Brazil. It's very difficult for them to get the funds, and there's a lot of sacrifices that they have to make. But the thing is, their hearts are hearts for mission, and their hearts are to go. And it's so awesome that we can partner together with Brazil and have them on our team and have them so filled with fire and so filled with excitement to be there. One of the times that we were in the van, that it was towards the end of the trip, and Joe had just said, what was it that she said about? So we had just had an impartation from Pastor Jose about faith and how it was important to have faith in everything that we do. And he said, yes, my shirt says faith in Portuguese, fé. and so he had just given that impartation, and Joe, it really went strongly and deep inside of her. And he was telling us how we all have hearts for missions, hearts to go. That's who we are. We're missionaries. That's who we are. And Joe just really took that to heart, and she got in the van, and she leaned over to PMP, Pastor Mary Patton, and she said, you know, I really feel that I have that heart for missions, she's in law school too, but despite being in law school, despite the things that are going on in her life right now, she really feels that mission calling, and she doesn't want anything to stand in that way. And so from that, just her speaking those words out, the whole bus like erupted in joy. I mean, we just like, it was just amazing. We all had a time of worship and you guys know, just overwhelming joy in the spirit. And it wasn't just like, it wasn't just like this person is laughing and this person's laughing or this person's falling over. It wasn't just that, but it was the heart behind it that there's a revelation that was released in the atmosphere of knowing who we are, knowing that we are called to go, knowing that that we should all be mission-minded. And Joe caught that heart, and Amanda too, because of the fact that she was there in the midst of not even being able to understand us some of the time. Joe had to translate a lot, but she was there because she understood, and she understands that fire and the fire to go is an important part of who we are as Christians. And speaking of the fire to go, when we were in Zimpetu, which is one of the first places that we ever went to, actually, when we were in Mozambique, but we went there for a conference on Saturday. Was it a Saturday? Yep, on Saturday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Pastor Mary Pat had the privilege to preach Saturday afternoon, and she got to preach to the youth. And it was so awesome because she preached a message on the woman at the well and how the woman at the well, when she had heard who Jesus was or understood who Jesus was, she immediately went out and she went and she told people who Jesus was. She just went. She didn't have to do anything else. She didn't have to ask somebody. She didn't have to pray, God, should I go? Or anything. She realized who Jesus was, and she went. She took that, and she started telling everybody about who she saw and who he is and all of that. And so Pastor Mary Pat gave a powerful message on just going, not always having to have some kind of a list of a way to go or, preparations or just go, just wherever you're at, school, work, the park. I don't know. you know, God has all called us as Christians to go. That was the call in Matthew. He says, go make disciples of all men. That's what he calls us to do. And so so she gave that call. And then she also gave a call for whoever wanted to have more fire to go, to be able to go. So, oh, that's, okay, wait, let's watch this for a second. Wait. That's Amanda right there. And that's Joe hoeing and welling.
I have an item here that I want us to take a couple of seconds to guess as to what it might be exactly, so I'm going to turn it around, give you a little bit of perspective of what it is. Alright, you got it? Okay, well, guess the cost time here, right? That's exactly what this is. Just look at how huge this thing is. It's almost a foot long and weighs between 3 to 4 pounds. Now compare that to the size of our human tongue, which is only 4 inches. James 3 makes it very clear that even though...
So yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. So it's not just about the laughter, but it was about the fire. The fire in the hearts to go. And so in this conference of all these young teenagers, she just called, who wants more fire to go? Who wants that stirring up in their hearts to have fire to go? And pretty much, I think all of them in the whole place just like came up, and there was worship, a time of worship, and she released fire over them to be able to go and do what God has called them to do. So that was also an amazing time. But just the whole trip was awesome. So, yeah.
Cool. And there's going to be a little video clip of that response there. At the it was the Jovens. It was supposed to be the young adults that were there, but it was mostly all the adults. Like again, because all the connections, so many, the whole place, most of them came back, even though they weren't technically Jovens. It was mostly the adults and some of the young people. So it's fun. But you'll see a clip of that. A little bit later, it's a part of a compilation that Andy made. And then I think Amanda has something to share for us. Thank you, Tiana.
Before Amanda comes, I want to impart something to you. I want to release something that was on my heart this morning. Okay, and that's this. The call on this ministry is to go. And for many, it will be go and come. Go and come. Go and come. Now, whether it's go for 3 weeks... and you come home for the rest of the year, or you go for 6 months, and you come back for 6 months, or you go and stay, and then you come back and you come back sometime. That's what needs to be determined by the Lord. But what the Lord was speaking to my heart on this trip that I want to make sure is released over us, re-released, is that the fire of God that will energize us with that unstoppable go in our heart is what the enemy goes after. He will go after anything that defies love. And the love of God that overtakes us, overwhelms us, consumes us, will empower us to go. And that fire will be there. So when you're guarding the fire, you're guarding your relationship with Jesus. Because that go in your heart doesn't go away. It gets stronger as the love increases. And so if it's dwindled, if it's decreased, if it's kind of whatever, maybe someday, it's a love issue. It's a love issue, love fire issue between you and God. Don't let the enemy convince you of anything else, because the go is so strong. It's God's, it's his last command to be our first priority from a place of love. So go to the Lord and encounter him. Spend time with him to see where any disconnect might be, so that if you have lost any desire or it's been on the back burner, don't let other things take the place of your real first love. So this is a real strong thing I imparted to the team yesterday, and they've had it all through the trip. And so that is the call on our heart, on our life, and in this ministry. In Mozambique, we've been going since 2003. One thing Pastor Jose said was the thing that differentiates this ministry from a lot of others is that we really do return, and we develop deep, deep, deep roots. And so we are able to partner with CISA and other things. When I was preaching in Zimpetu, I was preaching in the same conference last year, a little different message on Mary waiting on Jesus, okay? This was similar from a different angle, but I'm telling you, as Troy said, the jovens or the young adults are in there, but the place was packed. I don't know where they all came from, and it's a big church. And this message of fire was so strong that everybody came forward because God is saying something. Last thing I want to tell you, if you remember Pastor Sapreza, he's one of the key leaders of Iris Global. He's a good friend. We've been to his church. We've been to South Africa. Remember Pastor Sapreza. And remember, go back down memory lane and remember what it was like when we went in the dark to South in Nels Prairie, in White River, rather. And the Lord, we were so filled with fire and power. I'm telling you, that doesn't change. It only gets stronger. If you've lost or that's minimized, I'm telling you, don't fool yourself and say, I'm just in a different season. That is one of the biggest lies of the enemy. Don't hold on to that. So Pastor Sapreza, he was preaching on Saturday morning before I was preaching. Mine was kind of a continuation of what he was doing. The Lord just led it. It was kind of just developed on the spot. And so one thing that he said, and I want to say it to you frontline guys and gals who've been with us for so many years, but also the new ones. He gave a call, Mr. Joy, surprise, he gave a call of repentance. And the whole church came up, which enabled them to come up during my session to receive the fire. Because his call was, you must respond. And he was saying that Mozambique has been so blessed. God has come in so many ways, and we've had a little part in that. And it's important to God. But he said, when you take that for granted and you don't respond to the blessings of God appropriately, you'll respond, but maybe not appropriately. The disconnect can come. And there needs to be repentance. So here he is speaking this, I'm telling you, to the people in Yakwani we just ministered to. There were 12 from the bush, 12 of their leaders in bush people in the village, okay? They were there, and we had just been there. So they say, oh, mama, hey, and they come up and they hug our team. But they're also called to repentance, and they have nothing. But the fact that God has so blessed them with this outpouring revival since 2000, even a little bit before, right around there, he was led by God to tell them, listen, your first love has to be Jesus. You've been blessed, even though they don't have anything. I'm telling you, I was so humbled by that. The whole church, everybody came up and they got on their faces before God. And he said, I wasn't even planning on giving this message this way. What's going on? But it was so strong. So before you say, oh yeah, I want my fire back or whatever, you need to repent. I'm telling you, it is from God. There's no other way because we need to respond. And that's what his message was. It was about responding. And I was furiously taking notes and loving it and repenting myself for taking anything for granted, anything, any blessing, any fire, any place in the Spirit. And the Lord, I was on my face as well. Okay? So just be encouraged that this isn't just a little missionary ditty. This is a call from God. And he's saying, listen with your spiritual ears and get ready to respond to what he's already done. Because the enemy, he stole my shoes because I was not on top of it for that 1 minute. Okay, I gave him an opportunity to steal from me. I didn't even realize it. And it was one time. You think, well, that's not fair. You got it. The enemy's a legalist. So we need to go back and recapture what the enemy has stolen, but you don't do it without repenting and without saying, oh, Lord, I didn't see, but now I am going to respond appropriately. So that was on my heart this morning. I was telling my husband, my dearest friend, and I said, I need to impart something to our beloveds here so that we don't get fat, full up of, wow, we just did this cool missionary trip. No. We had the privilege of partnering with God, and you're going to hear more. But please take this message to heart, because your fire won't just be when you have a good Tuesday service. It'll be unstoppable, and it will be when you are even having difficult times, because it takes power to be joyful in the midst of challenges. It takes the power of God, and the fire of God that will explode over us will be the fire of the Holy God, the fire of the Most Holy God in us as we grow in our gratitude, thanksgiving, and we respond appropriately. We have to respond. We can't say, well, I don't feel like it. That is one of the biggest lies of the enemy. And this team has received a lot of impartation. If you're relying on your feeling that it needs to feel right or better or whatever, you better go deal with God, because something's stealing from you. Amen? God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Okay. I'm going to try not to cough. real quickly, you know, I'm so excited about this presentation that we've put together. We've really put it together for you. So I would just ask that you really try to focus and not allow yourself to be distracted by your cell phones or by side conversations. I think that's a good word for every Sunday when the pastors are speaking, but we just appreciate that. What the Lord did on this trip was just so amazing. I myself am not someone that is typically drawn to want to camp, you know, ever, let alone for 3 weeks in the bush of Africa. So in some ways, this trip is not one that I would, in the natural, be drawn towards. But this, so far, was the best mission trip that I've been on yet in many ways. And I feel like I experienced a lot of personal growth. And, you know, the challenges of some of the practical challenges of the camping and the physical labor, you know, loading the trailer and whatnot, like, who cares, really? You know, like, it pales in comparison to what the Lord used us to do in Africa, as well as the personal growth that I received that I'll be able to take with me for the rest of my life. So let that just be an encouragement to you. If you feel like you've lost your fervor to want to go to Mo's, for whatever reason, I would really encourage you to take that back to the Lord, because, you know, or even just, you know, I'm a veteran and I don't need to go on that trip anymore. You know, that's a lie. And I just experienced so much on this trip, and, you know, I believe if the Lord's calling you, if there's a yes in your heart, whether you've been on, you know, 50 mission trips with Frontline or whether you've been on one, this is a really amazing place, really amazing trip. And my prayer for all of us is that the Lord would restir the fire that we once had to go to the nations. So for me, I'm going to share briefly about two things on the trip. Before I do that, for me personally, I felt like I had a lot of growth with character issues related to pride and selfishness. So, you know, I just want to apologize to everyone if you, you know, for areas maybe you've seen in me that are, you know, just being filled with pride. I really believe the Lord, in such a good, beautiful way, kind of broke my heart, and this is just a beginning place. But I'm so thankful that I went on the trip, because there were just so many things that I didn't see about the way I have treated people in the past. You know, the Lord is good. As far as the trip and things that we saw, one of my favorite afternoons, we were at Pastor Fernando's church, we were at the children's home where Pastor Fernando, you know, oversees in Maluana. Oh, never mind. I'm not talking about that. Oh, okay. I'm talking about the Assemblies of God Church. Okay. Okay. So, got it. Yeah. Okay. So I'm sharing about, I was sleeping like a lot last night. I must have missed that. So we did, in the middle of the trip, we did 2 days at the Assembly of God Church in Mashava, which is kind of near, not too far from Maputo. And there was a compound there, and we stayed on the compound, which was wonderful. We were so blessed having so many places where we were able to stay and use our bug tents and not have to set up the big tents. It was just a huge blessing there. And but on this, so we did the first night, we were there 3 days. We were there a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday morning. So on Friday night, things were kind of building. But on Saturday night, we really kind of got to the meat and potatoes of things. And the Lord was releasing his fire. And it was so amazing to me. We get to the ministry time after Magdalena, after Magdalena. Yes, we did Jesus film on Friday and we did Magdalena on Saturday. And we had already done, multiple salvation calls that point between Friday and Saturday. And that was really touching to see people. But, we're talking about a church body. These are people that they already come to church. Presumably most of them already know Jesus, but, the Lord wants to stir their hearts where they've lost their fire, or maybe they never had fire in the first place. And it was just so amazing. At one point, someone was speaking up front, I'm not sure who, and I could just feel the Lord's heart of compassion for these people. In a way that I have never experienced before. Like, I've never experienced feeling the love God has for this whole crowd like that. It was like we were waiting in a pool of love and compassion, and it was thick in the air, and you could feel it. I had a sense. I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, PMP is going to call you to come up and speak. And I'm like, well, okay, that's either the Holy Spirit or it's just my thought. I'm not going to worry about it. And I let it go. And I just kept trying to flow with the Holy Spirit. Well, then like 30 seconds later, someone came up and tapped me and brought me. So I was, I got to share with the people about God's compassion for him, which was hilarious that PMP said, I want you to speak about how God has compassion for them. I was like, no way. I can feel it right now. I can feel his compassion for them. So I got up and I shared about that. But the cool thing what I want to point out was that I was looking through the crowd and there were like grown men and women, like people like us, our age, our things that we go through. And they were weeping before the Lord. Weeping like grown men. They could have cared less in that moment what they looked like, they were weeping like sobbing. And I don't know, for some of them it may have been repentance, for some of them it may have been inner healing or a mixture, but just all over the crowd I looked and there were many, like everyone was receiving, like everyone was earnestly, but many, many, many people were weeping before the Lord, and the fire of the Lord was just filling them up and, bringing cleansing, bringing healing, and it convicted my heart of, like, how many times have I been in a worship service here when the Lord is wanting to do that in my heart, but I'm so filled up with myself and my plans. And, I'm tired and I don't really feel like pressing in, I don't really like how long the service is going and I really want to go to lunch. There's just a lot of things that can be distractions or hindrances from us receiving what the Lord wants to do. And it was just so amazing, and I was so happy. I was so happy for these people that, like, oh my gosh, like, this is a transformational day. For some of these people, like, this is a day that they'll never forget. And this is a, we have a video, do we?
Sana milava kuona yini? Sana milava kuona yini? Imani lo alava kuona.
Because you want to go.
Hey,
I want to go.
So here people are running to the front on Sunday morning to receive more fire and to receive the call to go and evangelize. And look, they're all so earnestly, that woman's weeping there again on Sunday morning. So you can see it spilled into Sunday morning. So many of them ran to the front when PMP called them to run to the front to receive the call to go.
So on our last day, we went to Kamba Mooney, and we were expecting a really big crusade. And it just so happened that there was something that happened in the area, just kind of a community thing that they... it wasn't even that because of us that it decided that we weren't able to do it there. But it worked out that the Lord made it so we could go just down the road, like maybe a minute or two or so, and we were able to do a crusade that night. And, you know, we didn't know exactly what was going to happen. Our team really stayed stoked. We didn't lose, you know, faith, really. And in the midst of it, we had a humongous crowd. There was like 500 or 600 people there. And Pastor Mary Pat preached that night, and in the midst of even just preaching and even some of, like, the video and stuff, there was kids, like, running across, like, kind of the main stage or main area there, just, like, almost nonstop sometimes, like, just running and it, you know, but in the midst of it all, God was definitely moving, and there ended up being around 350 salvations that night, and so it's just awesome how the Lord moved, and, yeah, give praise to the Lord, yeah, amen. So it was awesome just how the Lord moved, and just, you know, they all just kind of came up front and just surrounded kind of Pastor Mary Pat and some of us that were out there, and it's just awesome how the Lord moved in that way. And Brenda was going to share a little more then, but there was just, you know, even a decent amount of witchcraft in the area too, and a lot of teenagers were even involved in that, but the Lord was just really moving still throughout, even just some other distractions too, so it was awesome.
Catamoya. Amen. Papa, when you are.
You're good.
The Lord wants you to know.
Alors, le sacro steam out to my land.
This is your opportunity.
Le sacro na mon capulane colosa.
Tonight to share this good news with you. So I want to invite you. I want
to invite you to freedom and love. You want to give in your life. Put your hands in the air tonight. If you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus, He's calling you now. Forgiveness of sin. Yes. Come and receive the power of my love. This is your opportunity right now.
Okay.
I turn away from all dark powers. I ask for your forgiveness for my participation.
So Kamba Mooney is a fun place. For those who have been there, they are a delightfully rowdy bunch that God has incredible compassion on and delights to set them free. When you go there, there's a lot of, you can tell there's a lot of homosexuality, there's a lot of sensual spirits, there's a lot of just deep brokenness and generations of witchcraft. Like, you can feel the oppression, like, when you go in, more so than, you know, even in the other villages. Kamba Mooney is very, very much that way. But in the midst of that, you also just feel this overwhelming compassion from the Lord that He's, like, not mad at them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that as broken as they are, like, there's such a tenderness of the Lord that comes forth that He so desires for them to be completely free. And in Kamba Mooney, after the call, like, many people responded to, you know, as you could see in the video, many people responded to be set free from witchcraft, to renounce it. And we always, you know, we pray as a team that, you know, and as a group, that that's going to be sincere and stay with them, because there's such a temptation, because they're so saturated in that culture. It's so normal, like, witchcraft is so normal. The witch doctor is such a common thing. You know, praying that that it'll be sincere in their hearts and it'll last, and that they won't, return to the vomit. So, you know, very real, I guess a dog would return to the vomit. We pray that it remains, and we know that God did a lot to bring freedom and deliverance. And I believe there was even, in Kamba Mooney, a second call that I think Pastor Mary Pat had sent out toward the very end. And, I mean, it's very chaotic there. They will kind of rush you. And so, like, usually toward the end, we are scrambling, we are packing up equipment, we're like, load the bus, you know, because it does get very rowdy, and you kind of have a sense of, like, okay, we need to go now. But I believe Pastor Mary Pat, I think, had even, you know, caught in the background, I think, where Amanda was holding back some of the crowd in one area. There was, I believe, a handful of guys who were kind of standing back and really not seeming to receive and actually being very rebellious and very disrespectful in multiple levels. And I believe I was in the back praying, so I didn't get to see all of it. So if I say this wrong, team, feel free to correct me. But I mean, I believe Pastor Mary Pat had kind of caught their eye and just, you know, engaged them and just said, hey, this is really for you too. This is your moment. You don't have to go this way any longer. And it was like the words had such a power and an anointing that they came forward. Like, they repented. They stopped participating with the spirit they were participating with, and they came forward, and they were also healed and delivered. So it was, you know, it was at the very tail end, because God, he's so compassionate. He doesn't want anybody to be missed. And there's so many times at Crusades we were giving multiple calls for salvation or for deliverance, being like, no, really. No, really. And it wasn't that it was like about us or about the numbers. It was about the compassion of God to just really get these people free and to have them step into the anointing that was there in that moment for those chains to be broken. And then one of the other areas that is also very, like, when you go in, there's just, even riding in the bus, you just, if you're sensitive in the spirit, you can just feel sort of the heaviness of it, was Coca Masava. And, you know, when you go there, you just really don't see, like, you just, people are very, you can tell they're very sad. There's such a heaviness, even on the children, because a lot of times you'll see the children a little bit more free, but there it's sort of like, they're kind of like, you know, squirming away from you as you're approaching. There's just a lot of darkness in that place as well. But Jesus, again, came through. He was so faithful, again, with his compassion to come in and want to set them free. And it was an area I remember we ministered in last year, And we had seen so many people set free in amazing ways. And then, you know, it's always heartbreaking, not just for us, but for the heart of God when you go back and you see that they've returned, like that they've kind of gone back into those ways again. And you can see the people who were set free last year in amazing ways were not walking in freedom this year. And so, you know, God in his compassion was, again, saying, you know, tell them again, you know, tell them again, like, you know, just like his relentless love for these people is such an amazing, amazing thing. And I had the privilege, I think this was the first time I think I've ever done it on any mission trip, to to lead a call to renounce witchcraft. And that was very good for me, just because the Lord has taken me through a lot of freedom, especially this past year, and allowed me to gain territory so that I could, you know, also release that to them. But as I was standing up there, I mean, I just, like, it was just so strong. Like, because I was praying and asking the Lord more and more, like, Holy Spirit, like, I really want you to possess me. I want you to take over my words. I don't want to think about it because I have such a thinker here that just gets in my way all the time where I'm just like, am I doing it right? Am I saying it right? Am I, you know, it's very self-focused. It's really, you know, it's really pride, you know, when we're just so aware of ourselves and we can't, you know, step forward. And the Lord was really, I felt like that night was a real breakthrough to allow him that, you know, to flow with him better than I had in the past. And I just felt such a strong unction from the Holy, like I just, what I was feeling so heavily was his overwhelming compassion for them to really get them. But then also just like a strong warning from the Father. It was just like, you know, you have to choose. Like you have to choose. You can't have mixture. You can't keep going back and forth. You can't think you have Jesus and then you go to the witch doctor. You can't keep these charms and think you're going to church and everything's good. Like it's serious. And I just felt the seriousness of God, like a holy fear come upon me that I believe was released as I shared, of just like, no, you really have to choose. This is life and death for you. You have to choose. And people responded to that. And I believe maybe in the gathering we had, maybe 30 or so really responded to that call. And then in terms of even like the compassion of God, just that no one is missed, which I think I've noticed more and more as I've gone on these trips, how God is so faithful to, you know, bring somebody who missed crusade because they were at work or because they were whatever, like a lot of times he'll bring them the next day or and they'll still get to receive because he's drawing them. That's why we're there. He's invited us to do what he's already doing, to just join him and what he's already started in these people's hearts and destined for them. But at the end of the crusade at Kokamasava, I remember there was a witch who came out. Her name was Isabel, or her name is Isabel. She's no longer a witch. She came out. She had missed the Jesus film. She had kind of just caught the very tail end of the crusade. She wasn't there for the deliverance prayer. And, you know, there was a part of, like, why, you know, why is she here? Why wasn't she at the crusade? You know, was she, you know, cursing our team? Which is a possibility, you know, what was going on there. But it's interesting, like, she was drawn out, and Joe and I were there, and we were able to share with her, you know, briefly the gospel. And just, you know, she really just wanted prayer for healing. And we said, well, we can pray for healing, but it's not going to last if you're going to continue in this lifestyle. It just won't. And so we just shared the gospel with her and just shared on just the dangers of witchcraft. And she just was like, I want this. Like, it was just like, it was so easy that I was almost like, Lord, is this real? It's so easy. Like, I'm just like, it was just such a, but she was like, no, I want this. And so she prayed to receive Jesus with Joe and I. She prayed to renounce witchcraft and all connections. And so when we asked what she needed prayer for, she said she felt like she had a rock in the side of her abdomen somewhere, and she had had some problems with her female cycle issues. But anyway, she said, she's like, there's a rock, and it's here, and it really, you know, bothers me. I know that's, and so anyways, we prayed for her just very briefly for healing, and then we just said, so, you know, any can you notice any changes? And she was feeling around and really pushing in there. She's like, it's gone, you know. So we just praise the Lord that she's no longer... that Isabella is no longer a witch, and she's set free, and she's healed, and we're praying and asking the Lord to keep her heart faithful, and that was also cool, because I remember going to bed that night going, like, I got to lead a witch to Jesus. Like, how cool is that, you know? Like, that's really cool, so praise God.
Yeah, stay here.
I just want you to know, I was so proud of everybody on this team. It was an amazing, amazing team. And I say that every year, and I love this team. I say that every year, and they know it. But I just saw so much breakthrough in courage and confidence and willingness to step into the unknown and things I hadn't done. The very first crusade, I don't think I preached the first week at all, the first few days. Brenda was the first one. We had just shown the Jesus film. And or Magdalena, one of them, I'm not sure which one. And so I said, Brenda, can you go up and give the net? And she's like, yes. We just got off the plane. So she did and just did a great job. And when she did, and we had other people come up. So there were times where we would have 3 to 5 to 6 of our team members doing the net or giving the gospel and then healing and then deliverance. And it was just so much fun. And everyone just cooperated. There was a real upgrade. There was a real humility in the area that people were able to jump into for their own lives. So when it came time for Brenda to give this amazing release in the area of the demonic and deliverance, which can be a scary area because it's very unknown. It's not something you memorize. You don't do that anyway. But it's not an easy area. And I've seen her grow so much. And she was in Ghana with us. And there were things that she saw she'd never seen before. And I could just see the breakthroughs that she had experienced personally and also in just releasing the gospel in this area from Ghana in November to now. And I saw this tremendous jump in the spirit. So I just sat back smiling going, I like this. So when this lady came up and said, you know, I wasn't there and what have you got? And I've got this rock in my side and all that. I just looked at Brenda and Joe and said, you guys run with us. We'll see you. And I took off and it was so nice. It was very freeing. I could go do something else. So there was this upgrade in supernatural ability to step into who everybody's really created to be. And it seemed easy. So praise the Lord. So that was going on all throughout the team. So I appreciate that.
One of the things that I love to see in the Lord do is consistently build things over the years. And so take a quick mental journey with me. 2003, we're in Mozambique. We meet Pastor Jose for the first time. He opens his mouth to pray. We fall to the ground like a sack of potatoes. Holy Spirit nails us. And basically what happens in Zepeto since 2003 is just Holy Spirit craziness. This year, we're ministering at Zepeto. At the end of the adult session that you guys were hearing about, or for the Jovens, that's also had plenty of adults in it, the Holy Spirit whacks. What? You're right. It was at the end of Pastor's Praises. Thank you, Troy. Still the same conference. Holy Spirit whacks Joe and Amanda and the rest of our group, and it just kind of spreads out. And I'm seeing this, and I'm like, wow, this looks like a lot of what happened here in Zepeto back in 2003. And I see Joe in the middle of it, and I'm like, well, that's interesting. Joe's here because we met Pastor Jerseo in Zepeto from Brazil in 2004. So I'm literally seeing the next generation, a first fruit of that, Joe and Amanda, receiving the fire in the very same place where it was released in 2003. But it was the next level. And it was like, wow, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What are you doing that you're connecting these things? Because it was a little bit different, but the Lord's saying, hey, pay attention to what I'm doing and what I'm releasing here. Obviously, the Lord has shown me some very specific things in that location in Zepeto. That's where the Lord showed me my lovely wife, Nikki, back there. He showed me that she was going to be my wife in Zepeto. So Zepeto always has a close place to my heart. Down near where the kids play soccer, there's this guardhouse, and that's where the Lord showed me this revelation and showed Nikki as well. So usually, when we're there in Zepeto, I encourage team members, if you're looking for a spouse, just go down, lay your hands on that building. There's an anointing that's been released there, and maybe there's grace. But that's a unique testimony and story, so that might not be the case. But I'm just throwing it out there, just saying, Holy Spirit's moving. But unique things have taken place in that place, and relationships have been born out of that. That have infected the destiny of Mozambique crazily, to the point where we see Pastor Jose stepping out with these things at CISA, but we also see the Lord blessing us with land on the sea. And so there's two things I want to share really quickly. Obviously, the Lord's doing something generationally, but I'm so appreciative of the Lord's anointing to break through into atmospheres over villages and groups of people. One of my most favorite things is when we're in a village and we pray and release the power of the Holy Spirit. I love when people get healed and nobody touches them. just because the atmosphere is pregnant with Jesus' presence. And that took place in this Harmony Village that we went to, which was awesome. And just the testimony and the faithfulness of the Lord in that, because you know that those people have received a touch because of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes they look to us and we're like, we're not the healer, Jesus is, but we're here to release him. But there's something to be said when there's that corporate atmosphere released. And that very same place where Brenda prayed for that woman to renounce witchcraft and got the healing, Joe and Amanda, Joe and Amanda and Pastor Lazarus were singing out in worship before the meeting. They were singing Reckless Love from Corey Asbury, which was really funny, in Portuguese. And just releasing that atmosphere, and that created that. And so I have a little compilation video of some preaching throughout what took place in our stuff, and it's pretty self-explanatory. But you need volume.
You do not have Holy Spirit on the inside? It was dark. You could not see. But now that Holy Spirit has come, loose! Holy Spirit, light! Oh, that is tonight! You were dark. Now comes the light. So we're going to pray. Yes! Holy Spirit! Yes! Holy Spirit! Come fill me now! Fill my heart! Fill my life! Breathe! Fill me with your joy! Fill me with your healing!
He's alive. Jesus is the living God. And he loves us. He loves us. You know, we're here in a church. And a number of you may already have a relationship with Jesus. But I'm telling you that tonight Jesus is here.
Do you want to understand?
I don't know why the audio cut out, but that's it. So that was at Zimpedu, and then that Troy preaching was at the Assemblies of God place, and before that, that was the village where, when the Holy Spirit was released, people testified afterward, just groups of people just got healed of legs and waist and pains and head pains and everything. We didn't even go out and pray for them. It was just them receiving the fire of the Holy Spirit in that moment created the atmosphere for the healing. And those are just the times that I love a lot.
Usually on Sundays, if we're around Maputo area, I'll preach in Simpeitu. I do this every year, and then Andy will go to another church, and Troy will go to another church, and our team splits up. So it's really great. We do a lot of that. When we're not near Zimpedu, we still split up so that we can cover more territory.
So, and then the other thing I'd like to share on really quickly this morning is our land on the sea, because that also ties into the whole generational thing that the Lord's been doing. We saw a lot of governmental favor this year. There was a lot of kind of having to petition things with the government and get designation for what category we're in so that we can submit our plans. We have this nice folder and brochure with all these plans for buildings, and that needs to be submitted to the government so they can say that these are the good things for you to build the land on and stuff. What year? It's here somewhere. It's in the tub. The tub's back there. In the back. Back in the back room where we have the plans for future world domination. With Holy Spirit, of course. So just being able to see this designation for the government so they can say, hey, this is the category that you're in. These are the taxes that you need to pay for the building. And here's your level of improvement or approved to be able to build on these sand dunes and everything else for land overlooking the sea. And so my heart is that I love going to the sea. We love going to the sea. You guys hear about it, and it's kind of like, well, what are you talking about? And so my wife blessed me with a GoPro camera for Christmas. And so I tried to make and take you guys into a personal experience of what it would be like to go to the land on the sea in Mozambique. Now, it's a little rough. It's a little fast. It might make you dizzy. But it just kind of to give you an impression of what it's like. And one of the things that we had never seen before is that a shipwreck actually wrecked in this area. And when we got down to the sea, the tide had gone out. And that boat was actually exposed and you could see it. Parts of it, and we're like, wow, we'd never seen that before. And Troy, we're coming down, and Troy's like, come on, come down here. There's a boat. And me, in my excitement, I'm like, I know what it is. There's a boat, so we can get in the boat, and we can go over the waves, so we can see the whales breach. But no, it was a shipwreck that was down there and everything else, which, yeah, and we had been swimming and going in that area and everything else for years, and we had never seen it, but this was a new and unique time. And so here, if you guys want to look afterward, is all kinds of plans and things that we can submit to the government as far as, you know, things that we want to do. And just saw that it was a trip of favor and increase and all that. So here's the video of a day at the beach in Mozambique. Us riding in the back of the truck. Climbing the sand dune.
Yes! Oh.
See the spout?
There, see the spout? See the spout?
So there we didn't see it this time, but there's always whales reaching out there. Then we climb up the dune and then we go down the dune all the way to the sea. There's the shipwreck. So this usually it's two things. One that's really enjoyable, but when I'm there, I'm just imagining that's the love of God continually just smacking me off my feet. Just a lot of fun. Then once we're see Troy out there. So once we wrap up, then we basically head back all the way up to the top. Group picture, of course. And then the long climb up. So, take a picture of Joe. So, hopefully that's a little bit of a feeling, and obviously it's more than just a fun day at the beach. It is, but there's so much more that the Lord is doing and what he's building there, all the way tied back to a vision back in 2003. Actually, Mike had it, Mike Wheeler, of buildings on the side of the bluffs on sand dunes, and on the side it said Frontline Ministries International. It said FMI. And it was a dream. And so we're believing that, you know, the Lord's slowly increasing these things, and we're seeing bit by bit it happening. And the same thing we've seen happen with Pastor Jose and Sisa, with the church that you saw. We've been there at the land. There was nothing. Then there's a building. Then there's a roof. And just seeing the size and the scope and the scale of it's incredible. And I know that there was breakthrough there for Pastor Jose. It was so awesome to see him standing literally in this space that the Lord had provided through a dream and a vision. And the Lord was bringing it to fruition and using us to partner with him to see it come to pass. And the same thing is happening at the land, bit by bit, day by day. It's getting built. And soon we're going to see a manifestation of that dream of the buildings on the side and everything else. And so each day that we get to go, it's another investment in the spirit of, Lord, this is what you're going to do in this place. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be a place of rest and refreshing and 24/7 worship and prayer. There's just something unique about that area, besides the whales breaching and everything else, of just the Lord's beauty and his ability to come in and refresh us and strengthen us. And knowing that what the Lord is wanting to do in this land with CISA and our partnership with Pastor Jose is for the future destiny of Mozambique. And it's not just a fun day at the beach, but it's more than that. But obviously, I kind of wanted to give you guys a feeling of what that looked like. And then you also have a video of that we took Pastor Mary Pat up on the top.
Hello, everybody. Here we are on our land on the sea near Masiani in the Gaza province of Mozambique. And we're so excited today. Something great is happening. Before we actually build, there has been other steps that we've had to take. So the government people are here today, and they are finalizing all things, checking our markers, and finalizing all paperwork. So we're very excited about that. And I want to show you the sea itself. It's beautiful. It's just gorgeous. And this is the time when we're actually taking steps forward. We're so excited. We're at the top of the sand dune that typically we have to climb, which is an amazing feat. Today we walked around with government people, but usually we climb up, and there's such a gorgeous view here. The vision for what the Lord has and wants to do here is so big. It's so wonderful. And we thank you for partnering with us, for sharing in that vision, for celebrating the hope we have to complete this project, and we're ready to start building. We're ready to dig in that sand and get the buildings up so we can do what we're called to do. So we praise God for you and for all that the Lord's doing. We celebrate today in Jesus' name. Amen.
So it was a big blessing on this trip. Some of us got to experience the double portion in that we went to the land twice, which had never been done before, so that was a lot of fun.
There are only two fairly large churches, meaning they're not hut churches. So there's a Catholic church, and there's another more traditional church, as there are in Masiani, which is the little burg that we come into, and then we take the 4x4 to go to our land. Our land is actually in a little area called Nyagaleni, which we found out last year after all being there all these years. And there's going to be a church plant, in Masiani. And so that will feed into, or we will feed into that also for what we're doing on the sea, land on the sea. We just really encourage you. This is something new that we have. We encourage you after the service to come up and look at this prospectus. It's very detailed. The government's really happy about it. The government people didn't want to climb the sand dune, so we did walk around. But the second time when it was just our team, we all went up the sand dune. It's kind of a, we're going to conquer this in Jesus' name type of thing. It's just fun. So we're really excited about this. We believe it's God's timing right now, that we're paying for a lot of things. You guys are supporting these things. We bought the new pump for Pastor Jose. He's had situation after situation after situation of fires and theft and death of pigs and you name it. He's had all kinds of catastrophes that have happened over the years, and he just keeps on going. He doesn't have a vehicle right now. He did buy a bus similar to the size that we had. And Linda, his wife's mother, passed away the week before, or so we came, and then the bus got in an accident. And so we were able to, it was wrecked in the front, so we were able to provide the monies to fix it so he can support the CESA team and also keep going to the villages. He doesn't have a personal vehicle, and he wants to use it also to raise money. So there's so many different threads to what we're doing. It's constantly moving. We're right there in the bush. We're dealing and talking to the people who are just absolutely needing Jesus. And then we're doing a conference. We'll leave the bush and go into some pay to do conference. And we'll go back out to the bush, go into a children's home. So it's just this multifaceted, crazy trip that has so much promise and so many prophetic threads. The Lord's saying, I give you the power to connect the dots. It's from me. I'm going to give you the vision to see all the things that I'm doing. Embrace it, take ownership of it, and run with it. I already had one person from our team say to me in the airport yesterday, I'm going to really run with helping to get the soccer shoes and all the things that we need for next year. Pastor Jose is coming in a couple of weeks because we're doing Relentless Pursuit early, so he's not coming in October. Coming here for the first time. He'll be here in August, and then he'll be leaving October 9th. So we're changing things up a bit. So a lot of things are in motion right now that are resulting also from this trip. So I don't know, who's next. I think we have a couple more people, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Okay. Well, as you guys have heard from some of the different team members and everything, this trip was really different in the sense that there was a great unity in the spirit with the team from the very get-go. Sometimes when you go on these different trips, it seems like the unity takes a while to build, or that the team's not flowing, you know, directly in sync with the heart of the Lord. But on this trip, I think the Lord, he's really accelerating something right now in this season, and he's really breaking through. And the thing I think sometimes that we think is the breaker anointing isn't just in Africa. It doesn't live in Brazil, and it doesn't live in Ghana. The breaker anointing is wherever you are, because the breaker anointing is on the inside. And so Jesus was really doing something different on this team. He wanted to break us out of those habits that we have, those strongholds in our lives, and those areas of bondage where the enemy has come in and he's hooked his hooks in and he's tried to rip out your soul. Okay? So we say sometimes in this body that, you know, we don't want the enemy to steal our lunch. And we kind of laugh sometimes when we hear that statement. But the thing is it's not just a funny statement. It's not just for a humor or like, oh, yeah, I don't want the enemy to steal my lunch. It's very serious, because imagine this. Imagine that you are that person that's out in the desert. You've been wandering for days. You're starving. You come up to this banquet table full of food. And then when you get there, it's just taken away. It's all stolen. That's what it's like when the enemy comes in and steals your lunch, okay? So one of the things I wanted to share about was really how the Lord was moving in this trip, and he really wanted to root out these things that have been keeping us back, that have been keeping us tapped down and pressed, you know, in. Like those areas where he wants to break through in his anointing. And some of the testimonies that we've heard so far about how the Lord was really showing up in these villages, and how we were able to release the anointing to the effect that we could pray healing over a multitude of people, and they were healed without anyone even physically touching them. That's because of the breakthrough in us. You can't release what you don't have. And that's not just a buzzword or a buzz statement. You can't release what's not on the inside. And so the Lord, he really, right now in this season and in this time, he wants to break that through in everybody's hearts. And so there are times when he will take you to a different country because he knows that he's going to be able to get your focus while you're there. Because you're not focused on yourself. You're there to do a mission. And the mission is his gospel. It's doing what he's called you to do. It's going where he's called you to go. So for this trip, it was just really, in my heart, he was doing some miraculous things just on the inside of me. It started before the trip began. Some people know, some people don't. I lost my job at FedEx before this trip happened. And so I had about a month and a half or so where the Lord was really starting to shake up those things on the inside, where I had had value in the things of this world, and I was living one foot in heaven, one foot on earth, okay? We're not called to live that way. We're called to live with both feet planted in heaven. And when you live that way, God comes and he pours out and he rips out what he does not want in areas and people here, Africa, wherever you want to go, whatever he's birthing in you for that vision, he is powerful and he will do it. Give in to him. All right. And so as the Lord was doing all that in my heart and just stirring it up, we had opportunity and time like on this trip where the Lord just really was able to speak to us because the ears were open and we were listening to what he had to say. And so as I was just on the trip and just really pouring out to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to go lower, you know, birth more humility in me, birth more of your heart of compassion in me, God. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to act like the world. I don't want to have their thinking. I don't want to partner with what they're doing, you know, and just really rooting out those spirits of that come in and oppress and depress us, you know, as you're pulling those, as those things are being pulled out of you, there's only more room inside for Jesus to come in and plant what he wants to plant. And so there was a day when we were on our team, it was about maybe a week and a half or so after being there. Some of you guys know that I have issues with my back. My back issues started in 2007, and it was a constant pain every single day from 2007 on. Okay, in 2016, I was diagnosed as having degenerative disc disease, and there's no cure for that in modern medicine, okay? And so when we were there, I had an opportunity, like I spent about the first week and a half of the trip with my back hurting. I couldn't sleep on the ground. I couldn't lift anything over 10 pounds. My back would be killing me. And sometimes I would be like, Lord, you know, I can't take this. I need you to come. I need you to touch me because I can't even sleep right now. You know, everybody else is getting like this sweet sleep. And I'm like going on like 2 or 3 hours because I kept waking up because I can't lay on my back. I can't lay on my side for more than an hour and a half. I can't sit on the ground for more than 15 minutes, you know. And so I was, you know, pressing in and praying to the Lord about that. And there was a day where... the Lord directed Haley. She was talking to me, and she asked me, you know, like, hey, what's going on? And I told her about my back. And we had a time where she and I were talking, and the Lord really did some deep deliverance in my heart. And we really pressed through and prayed through some things, broke some things off. And I am here to declare that on that day, at that moment, the back pain completely left. It has not come back at all in Jesus' name, because he's the breaker and he's the one that roots out those things in our lives that we think that there is no hope for. Some of you guys have problems in your bodies that you've had for years. And sometimes the enemy comes in and he whispers in your mind that, you know, there's healing for other people, but this is something that you're just going to struggle with because this is how it is. That's not how it is. Jesus is more powerful for that. And he will break off the things that are holding you back and they're holding you in hindrance, because we are called to live a complete and total healthy life before the Lord, because we got stuff to do. We got territories to take, and you got to have the body healthy to do it. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. So in Africa, we say hallelujah. Man, I hope you can see that our team is different. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? Do you want to be different today? Do you want to love Jesus more? Do you want him? Do you want him? Do you want him? Do you want Jesus? Man. So I am thankful. This is my fifth time to Mozambique. And sometimes I believe God calls us to things that we don't even see ourselves being called to. But it's wise to ask Jesus, Jesus, what do you want? You know, I lay myself down. The Bible says we die daily. And so there's times where you're called to do things, but you have to die. You have to die to even the dreams you think you have for yourself. So I just encourage you in this body, if you're connected to this house, lay it down. Lay it down. Lay down your pride. Pick up the cross. Carry the cross of Jesus. Carry his cross because the world needs you. They need Jesus. They need him. We have him and they need him. And it's not just Africa. It's here. What are we doing here? That's something I believe that there's more for each of us. Even if we have been doing what Jesus has called us to do, there's more. There's more. And we can catch this. Like right now, if you're like, I can't do that, no. You just catch this. There's an anointing. There's an empowering from Jesus himself. He's here, no matter your age. So one thing I wanted to talk about was what struck me about the children. So if you're a child, listen. And we're all children. But you see these African children walk miles with bare feet. Bare feet, miles to come to church, and they're singing. They're singing. They're singing. They're singing. They're singing. And they're not, yeah, they might talk a minute, but then they're singing. You know, they might do this over here, and then they come back and they're singing. Are we singing? Are we doing what God is doing? When you come in the doors, are you singing? Are you singing to the King? Are you singing to him? Are you engaging in what heaven's doing, what he wants to release? Because we can be the best we can be only when we're hidden in him and worshiping, and we're changed in his presence. Angie was talking 1 foot in heaven, 1 foot on earth. Or do we want both of our feet in heaven? So do in this season, do what he's doing, be where he's at, engage with him. It's a new time. This team is different, and after today, you're different. If you want it right now, after today, you can be different. You can be more in love with Jesus than you were when you walked in, and that's what happened to me on the trip. In the goodness of God, I did not deserve to go on this trip. But Jesus called me. And I want to talk about a time at Pastor Fernando's church. We've gone there before, but I got to go back. And there's these children, and they're fatherless and they're motherless, but they're there together. But they don't walk around like orphans because they know who their father is. And they're being cared for with the love of Jesus. And so one thing we got to do is give them these backpacks. And these backpacks you could just color. And I tell you this, there were teenage boys like Aiden and Jonas, teenage boys like their age, and they're coloring. They're coloring these backpacks, and they're so happy. They're so happy with a backpack and markers. Would we be happy with a backpack and markers? But they're so happy. And I guarantee for those people who go to Africa, and you go there next time, you'll probably see those backpacks because I'm sure they'll take care of them because you could see how much it meant to them. And then after that special time, part of the team went to practice more dramas. But I had a chance to work with Pastor Fernando's son, Evo. And he's a teenager, probably a high school type age young man. And God really touched my heart because I had a chance to do what I love and help Evo play the piano for worship. And so it was just this intimate moment where it's him and I, and we were sitting together, and he's like, oh, do you know this song? And he ran into this building and got out his phone, and he's playing these audio songs of worship. And so we're sitting there, and he wanted to figure out the chord progression. So I helped him figure that out. And then we just started playing prophetically because I said, Evo, you don't have to stay doesn't have to sound like this recording. You just play from your heart, and it can just be whatever your song is. Just let it come. So I'm playing, and he's playing, and he's singing, and I'm singing, and this prophetic, we're just playing to the Lord and just playing. And it was so touching to me because the Lord blessed me with the opportunity to do what I love in Africa, worship and impart to him how to release a new sound. So I feel very blessed that God would give me that opportunity.
I don't know where this is going to go exactly, but I just want to impart it so that it's out there. But what we've just been sensing even before this trip, that the Lord is resurrecting some of the larger crusades that we've done in the past in Ghana. And so I don't know how it's going to look in Ghana this year, in Mozambique next year, or any other place, but there have been words that have been spoken. And we were asked by Pastor Jose, but also another pastor of Assembly of God Church, can we do a bigger conference, a bigger crusade? Pastor Jose said, I think we want to do a very large crusade. So whatever that means, whether it's stadium time, I don't know, but I really believe the Lord has this. He's resurrecting something, not that it's died, sounds like it from resurrection, because we've still been doing crusades, but something on a larger scale with the gifts, talents, and abilities in this body, God's going to reach larger groups of people as well. So we'll let you know how that goes. Pray into that for us. And Haley's got something.
I've got the fire. I have the fire is what I have. I'm so excited. I'm just so excited. I don't even know what I'm excited about. I'm just excited. Half of me is still in Africa, and the other half of me is like, I actually want to be here, but I still want to be there. It's just everywhere right now. One of the things that Pastor Jose imparted to us, I wrote it down, and I'm just repeating it to myself over and over. It's so good, and I love it. It has to do with being completely led by the Holy Spirit, being completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit, not having our own plans, but following God's mission, not what we think his mission is to, you know, it might be what we want, and we just pretend like it's him. But what Pastor Jose said, we don't know where we're going, but we will get there. And, you know, Angie was talking about she might not have a job right now. She doesn't know where God's taking her, but wherever God's taking her, she's going because she has the fire. She's being led by Holy Spirit. She's going to get there wherever it is, and it's going to be a lot better than what she thinks it is. When we go to the land on the sea, there's this dune that we have to walk over. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm going to now. There's this big, steep dune that you have to walk over before you even can see the ocean. And it's one of my favorite days. I basically say this is my vacation. I don't go on vacation very often. So now I'm like, I get one day every year in Mozambique where I get to go to the ocean. And it's not just seeing the ocean that I love. It's the ride on the 4x4 going through the brush to get there. It's climbing the dune. And then it's seeing what the beautiful picture after you climb the dune. And so it's like, you know, if we're led by Holy Spirit, we don't know where we're going. There's a dune in front of us. I can't see what's on the other side of the dune. Maybe it's something that we're looking forward to. I look forward to climbing the dune because I know what's on the other side. But maybe I don't know what's on the other side yet. Maybe God's put something in front of me like I don't have a job. I'm in the same situation as Angie. I don't have a job right now. So I'm not the only one. There's a dune in front of me with not having a job right now. But I'm going to climb that dune, however it looks like, being completely led by Holy Spirit because I know what it looks like on the other side. What's on the other side is the beautiful untouched beach that the Lord has given to us. It's the territory that he's given to us that we own now. Angie spoke with such fire when she was up here. She was just saying that there's this territory that we don't want him to steal our lunch. And this isn't just for Africa. This wasn't just for our team. We're the body of Christ. We're here together. So this is us coming home saying, this is what we've learned. This is what we carry now. Pastor Mary Pat talked about carrying the substance of faith as a substance, as a thing that you actually hold in your hands. It's not just something that I have, I strive to have, I want to have more of. It's a substance. It's something that you actually carry, like something that I can put in a bag, put on my shoulder, and take with me. I carry faith with me, and the more of it I have, the deeper it is that I have, the more things I can do. And so we increased in faith through these testimonies and everything that happened to us there, and we're here to come home to see you guys and to say we need an increase of faith for you guys as well. Like, this body is a very faithful body. We've seen so many testimonies. We do so much ministry. But there's a deeper level of faith for you today that's here today. So I don't know what's on your heart, what's like all of these testimonies and everything that you've been hearing, but there's something. There's got to be something or multiple things in your mind, in your heart right now. The dune that's in front of you in your life right now, healing that you want in your life right now. Maybe there's something like Angie had. Maybe it's not even as serious as Angie had. Something like with your back problem, healing, anything like that. God's here to impart faith, impart healing, impart heart healing for you today so that later on you can carry it to somebody else. Whether it's in Africa or it's your neighbor or it's downtown Canton, wherever it is, the lost are the lost. They need Jesus, whether they're in Africa or not. And so it's just like, that's why I'm excited to be home. I love being in there because it's an adventure. But I'm excited to come home to learn more how to minister here at home now, which is something that I have struggled with. I do great on the mission fields, and then I come back and I fall back into the old patterns, old habits of just living regular life, and I forget to see the people that are around me. And so this year it's just, God, I want to see the lost. I want to see the brokenhearted that are right next door to me so that we can get people saved, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. When we were talking with the kids, I talked very briefly with them about what life is like in Ohio and what it's like when we're on a mission trip. And we talked about how we sleep. Here we have beds that are up high off the ground so the critters can't get us. When we're in Africa, we're laying on the floor on air mattresses. Sometimes we can feel the wind. Sometimes I think we were somewhere and Pastor Mary Pat got water in the face right through her bug tent. So that was fun. But it's this place that's saying, okay, it might not be the most comfortable thing to do, but I'm doing it because there's somebody that doesn't know the Lord. And this is what we talked about the kids with, and I think Seth answered the question. I gave the question to them, I raised it, and I was like, is it more comfortable to be able to have my comfortable bed that's up off the ground, nice mattress, or is it more important for somebody that doesn't know the Lord to meet the Lord? What's more important? It's more important for us to get out of our comfortability and for somebody else to know the Lord. So it's just, that's what God has for us today. There's healing for you, but the healing has a purpose. The healing has a purpose so that we see the people around us because they're more important than us. We already have Jesus. They don't. They're more important than us. We already know where we're going. They don't know where they're going. So if you could all just stand up. I know there's something on your heart, on your mind, whatever it is. Just keep that in your heart. Keep that in your mind. Yes. When we were at Pastor Fernando's, we met a man named Virgilio. He was blind. He was the local church there. He is the pastor's husband. So the pastor's husband is blind, and I think Pastor Mary Pat and Joe Kabeji and some other people went through some deliverance with him from things that he had connection to witchcraft and other things in the past. He had a lot of connections, a lot of things in his life that are holding him down. So we could pray to see that, okay, yes, maybe he can be healed in his eyes. But maybe there's something deeper going on in the heart that God wants to release from him, deliverance from something that's holding him down, and the manifestation of it is blindness. The manifestation of something deep is that he can't see. And so we obviously pray for the healing, but sometimes there's something beneath that healing that actually has to get unrooted for the manifestation of the healing to show up. And so I think that's part of what God has for us today. This guy was blind. They prayed for him. They went through the deliverance from witchcraft. He can see now. He was able to see light. I wasn't talking with him, but I was in the same room, and we were in a dark room where he was living, and when the door would open and close and the sunlight would come in, he said, I can see the sunlight, I can see the door opening and closing. So he was able to tell the difference between darkness and light. Now, even if we're not sure how clear he was seeing things, he went from having total darkness to now being able to tell when his door was opening and closing. At one point, he was able to see Pastor Mary Pat's face, so I think that happened twice, that he was able to say, yes, I did see this. So we're asking God to continue that healing, to bring it to complete fullness for him. But the fact that he went from being completely blind to now being able to see something is through the roof amazing. And you know, Angie's back, through the roof amazing. She had it since 2007, completely gone, not supposed to have a cure. So what's in your life that maybe you don't see the cure? Not having a job, some sort of healing that you've been chasing after forever, God's here to unroot that thing in the deep place that manifests itself as maybe getting a job, maybe having success, having healing. It's not always the surfacey thing that we see. It's, God, I need to love you. I need to be desperate for you. I have to be closer to you. And the closer we are to him, the manifestation of those things is the success that we dream about and the healing and the feeling good that we all dream about. But the actual thing that we have to deal with is deeper than that. Can you take it? Oh, no. She's like, no, keep going. Okay, I will keep going. I don't know where I'm going, but we will get there. All right, I'm just going to pray. Think about whatever has been on your mind and heart as everybody has been sharing. I didn't hear all of them, but I was there, so I heard most of them before. So just keep that in your heart and your mind. Father, I just thank you for everybody here at Frontline, Father, that you have a purpose and a plan for everybody's life here. And it's not just that they would have the American dream, Father, but it's that they would be carriers of your fire, Father, to the lost, to the brokenhearted, God. That we want to carry the fire over the bridges, over the gaps, Father. We want to take them to the dark and deep places where people don't know you, Father. Kambamuni last year, that village that Kambamuni didn't have a church. We had a big, big outpouring. I think like almost 1,200 people were there. We went this year and they have a small church. They have an opportunity to know him and to grow with him more. Father, we want that same opportunity in our lives where there's somewhere where there's a blank slate, where there's a place in our hearts where we're completely missing you, where we're completely off track. Father, please just reveal that to us right now, God. Reveal that to us, Father. Father, we just thank you for planting your territory in that place in our heart right now, Father. We just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your fire, Father. We want a new commitment to you, God. We want a new commitment to you that it's more important for us to get close to you. It's more important for the lost to know you than it is for me to be comfortable. It's more important for some one person to know Jesus than it is for me to get a job in the next month. What is it that you want that looks like the American dream? Get it out of your mind because it's not as important. This is the part about humbling yourself. I don't understand it, but I'm learning it. What is the American dream that you want? Hold it in your hands and then give it to God and replace it with faith, the substance of faith. Don't hold the American dream in your hands. Hold the substance of faith in your hands. So, Father, we just release our American dream to you right now, whatever that looks like for each of us, for us as individuals, Father, for our jobs, our healing, our money, our families, whatever, you know, whatever that is, Father, we just give that to you right now. Just release that to him in your hands, like you're holding it, and just give it up to him. Let it go. He's taking it. He's carrying it. It died on the cross with him. The American dream is good, but it's not the best. God's way is the best. Climbing the dune and seeing the territory that God has given us, the territory that is inside of us because we know him, but we haven't seen it yet because we're not close enough with him. Father, we want to be close enough to see the territory that you've already given us. Help us to remove those blinders, Father, that we already carry what we need. We already carry what we need. Just help us to see it, to know that we have it. Father, we release these things to you, Father. And we just declare that we will hold on to the substance of faith from this point forwards, Father. It's not just for this Sunday, but we're going to remember this. We're going to hold on to the substance of faith. It's going to grow and not decrease. I would encourage anybody, if you feel like, you know, full healing or full, like, giving up something to God right now maybe isn't happening, find somebody from the team, find a leader from church. If there's something that you've just been praying for, and you can't get rid of it, that's probably deliverance deep down somewhere else that's connected to something else that you don't realize that needs to take place. So when this is done, if you still feel like there's unsettled business, find someone and get deliverance because it's important. It's important for your life. It's important for your family's life. If you have kids and you're not fully delivered of something, it's being passed on to them, not on purpose. But it is because you carry it and they're your kids. We learned about generational curses. We don't want to have generational curses. We want to break them off in our life. We want to break them off in our kids' life. We want to break them off in our church's life. And then we want to go out to the streets, to the lost and the broken. We want to break it off of their lives. So, Father, reveal to us today, Father, the things that have to be removed from our hearts, the things that are keeping us from you. What is in the way when I'm reaching out to you and I feel like I can't reach your fingers, Father? Show me what that block is, God. Father, we just thank you for your fire and anointing that is falling on everybody right now, here now, God. It doesn't always look like falling on the ground laughing. It doesn't always look like crying. It doesn't always look like spinning around and praising your name, Father. Those things are great, and they all happen, Father. But it doesn't matter what this looks like for you right now. What matters is that you are connected. Don't think about the person to the left or to the right, behind or before you. This is you and Jesus time. I went to, in one village, I think it was at an Assembly of God church, I ended up speaking on the compassion of God, and people in the crowd were just crying. We got to a moment where I just told the people, you know, just whisper out loud where you are. Don't worry about what's around you. Tell God what you need to tell him. The compassion of God is here. We've brought it from Mozambique to bring it here for you guys today. You already have a level of it because you know him, but there's a deeper level of it for you right now. So just tell God what's on your heart, what's on your mind. Hand it over to him, and then pick up the substance of faith. I don't know what it looks like to carry the substance of faith. That's okay. Pick it up. Faith is just faith. We don't know what it looks like. It's just believing. Believing that God will come through. Believing that there is an ocean on the other side of that dune that I can't see right now. Father, we just thank you for increasing our faith right now. We just ask for your fire and anointing to continue falling, Father. Break our hearts, Lord. Break our hearts for you. Help us to be so desperate. As the deer pants for the water, so our soul cries out for you.
Just staying in that state, these are some scriptures that I had the privilege of imparting some good truth here. Just receive right now over your lives right now. This is from 1 Peter 5, 6, 7, and 8, and I'm going to add verse 9. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist, firm in your faith, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. I'm just going to invite you as Haley continues to pray out. I'm going to put some music on back there. And just invite you to come up to the altar and pour your heart out to the Lord so that we can respond to what's happened today. The Lord is here, and he's releasing himself. He's done that all morning, and he's saying, respond properly. Respond to me. So this is a step in deeper humility that we're taking, and that we're literally casting our anxieties and our cares upon him, for he cares for us, and that we are choosing to be sober and diligent, resisting him, because he's like a lion prowling around, seeking and looking for someone to devour. So if that's happened to you or you're in that process, the Lord's saying, I understand, and I'm going to move in conjunction with what's being released here so that our faith will grow and so that we can be removed, we can have fear removed from us, which is the opposite of faith. We really want faith to grow. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Lord tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he says we must believe in who he says he is, and then he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So today we seek you, O God. So if we have some good music Angie's putting on, I'm going to let Haley speak over you and lead out whatever is still on her heart. And invite you to come, and then we'll transition into praise the Lord, it's over, have a good day. So thank you, Jesus. And Haley, just take the mic as this music comes on.
So just again, I encourage you to come up here if there's something burning on your heart. And his power is here, so honestly, that should be all of us. This is probably something that I wouldn't always respond to. But he's here. And you need the freedom. And the freedom is here ready for you. So come and get it. Father, we're so desperate for you. We're so desperate for you. We're so desperate for you, God. We need you like water, God. We need you like food. We need you like shelter, God. You are our water. You are our food. You are our shelter, God. You are our home. We need you, Father. We need you, Father. We need you, Father. What I have right now isn't enough, God. I need more of you. More of you, God. It's never enough. Father, you are enough to take this out of our life. Whatever you're thinking about right now, God is enough to remove it. God is enough to solve that riddle that you're trying to solve. God, we just declare, just open your mouth with me. God, you are enough for my life. God, you are enough for my life. I believe it. I am holding on to the substance of faith. God, you are enough for my life. I believe it right now in the power, in the blood, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, you are enough for me. 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 I don't need anything else. You are enough for me. Father, for each one here that has responded to your call, God, Lord, just touch their hearts right now, Father. I just declare right now that you are enough for them, that nothing else is in their way, Father, that they are climbing the dune that you've put before them right now in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for the ocean, the beautiful picture, the promise that is on the other side, that we're going to see it. We're going to see it. We are going to see it because we believe. We are holding the substance of faith. We are going to see it. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how to get there. It doesn't matter. We're going to see it. Father, remove the ideas of what we think it needs to look like. Remove the ideas of the process we think it has to take to get there. It's your way or the highway, Father. Help us to believe that, Father, your way or the highway, your way or the world's way. We don't want the world's way anymore because it's not enough. You are the only thing that's enough, God. The world is not enough for me. My family is great, but they are not enough for me. My friends are great, but they are not enough for me. My church is great, but it's not enough for me. What I need is you, Jesus. I need to be so in love with you, Father. Father, I thank you for removing the barrier right now. Removing the barrier to any healing that people are seeking after, Father. I thank you that the touch from God today is going to bring that healing, Lord. I thank you, Father, that if deliverance is needing to take place, Lord, that you will bring it to their hearts and minds, Father. If there's something on your heart and mind and you don't know why it's there, you feel like maybe it's not connected, or you know it's connected, whatever's on your heart and mind right now, just say, I renounce this right now in the name of Jesus. I renounce fear in my life in the name of Jesus. Speak it out loud, whatever that word is on your heart. I renounce being afraid of not having a job. I renounce being afraid of what my family is going to think. Those are mine. What are yours? We renounce fear right now in the name of Jesus, that this place is the place of God. That the one who prowls like a lion but isn't a lion, he can't stay here anymore. He can't stay in this building. He can't stay in our hearts. He can't stay in our minds. He can't stay in our emotions. Because God, you've given us the vision. The blinders have come off. We know who is the Lion of Judah, and we know who is the lion, the fake lion. Here with you. One heart, one voice.
I'm going to pray right now, and I would like you to repeat the prayer after me. It's going to be short and sweet, but it's going to be really, really sweet because God's going to come here. Father, we are so desperate for you. We are giving up our American dream because you are enough for me. I renounce any fear in my life. I am handing the fear over to you right now. I will not look back at the fear again. I will not pick it up again. Because God, you killed it on the cross. And then you rose again. And you brought new life. If I really have belief, if I really have faith, then I won't pick that fear up again. Because new life has replaced it. It no longer exists. Enemy, I kick you out of my heart. I kick you out of my mind. I kick you out of my emotions. I kick you out of my family. Thank you, God. You are here with me. You are all I need. We are so desperate for you, Father. This is the sweet place of relationship with Jesus right now. Don't worry about if you're hungry or tired. I'm tired. I could fall asleep right now, but it doesn't matter because God's here and he's doing something in my heart, and it's more important. It's more important than sleep. It's more important than food. It's more important than a comfortable bed. Father, you are the most important thing right now, God. Help us to stay focused and centered on you in this moment, God. Help us to behold your face, God, because you are here with us.
I cannot contain this love. Praise will be my song. I cannot contain this love.
And Father, I just pray that as you continue to bring healing to our hearts and minds and emotions right now, God, that you are also imparting to our spirit, Father, so that we can carry this to the nations, even our own nation. Father, light us on fire. Open our eyes. Help us be so desperate for you that we become desperate for the lost and the brokenhearted.
The joy of our salvation.
That they're more important than our comfortability. That they need Jesus, Father. Don't let us forget that they need you, Father. They need you, Father. They need you, Father. And you are enough for them. Father, give us the fire to go. Give us your compassion. But Father, as you look down from the cross on the people who crucified you, you said, it's okay, I forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. The world is ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. We have the eyes to see, but it's okay, we can forgive them because we know that they're ignorant and we know that their blinders have to come off their eyes. Father, if there's anywhere in our hearts where we have offense against unbelievers, help us to forgive them, Father. Help us to see them the way you see them, Father. And we need your compassion, God.
I shout out, I will sing of your love for me. As you reach out, I can feel you all around. Oh,
So the mission continues. The mission continues. August, I declare, is mission month. You're on a mission. Those that are part of Frontline, we have opportunities in August. You can live this out with the person in front of you, and you also can live it out going together into the harvest field. Wednesday night, men, you know what we've been talking about. Some of you need to talk to me about people that you've invited, tickets, all those kinds of details. But there's still time to invite. Let this fire grab a hold of your heart and do the difficult thing of inviting a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, and step up at the last minute and bring people to an opportunity to hear the gospel in an environment that they might like to go to. Connected with the Hall of Fame. Talk to me today. On the 10th of August, there's a laundromat that can be a place of ministry. As far as we know, it's the 10th of August, is it? Yes, okay. They finalized the date as far as we know. We'll let you know if there's any change. That's from 10 to 2. They have opened up the laundromat for people to come in and do laundry for free. There are a couple of Christians that own this laundromat. Last year, they had 500 people go through. So we've been asked to do worship, evangelize, have a booth, do prophetic art. That's sacrifice on our part. It's a Friday morning, I believe, and afternoon, 10 to 2. And then that night begins the kickoff for Revive Stark in Louisville. That whole weekend is reaching out to the community of Louisville. We can be on the front lines of that. On the 25th, downtown Canton, there's a regional repentance day. Now part of, that day's open, sorry. Regional repentance day. And so they've given us a time to do worship, to pray over the people that come. It's right in downtown. They're expecting to do baptisms, the last I heard, in downtown Canton from the people that come to Christ. There's going to be a call for coming to Christ. There's going to be worship involved and so on. It takes a sacrifice on our part to go on a Saturday at the time they've designated for us in the afternoon to be part of that. But we have been on the streets before. We can lead the way. They're asking us to come. Please come and involve yourself in this. Also, you know about the Green Light Missions with the little guys going out and evangelizing and doing various things that weekend. So see if Rachel needs help. See if Lawrence, when he's here, see if they need help with that in some way, shape, or form. Well, I don't have any kids. That's beautiful. You don't have to watch over anybody. You might be able to plug in with something that they need help with. There are so many opportunities. In September, where there's going to be some of us going down to the capital of Ohio, and we have an opportunity to do worship down there and go out to the streets and evangelize. So between August and September, it's your mission. And if First Friday, of course. I don't know how to say it without Andy being up here. So, First Friday in August, that's coming up very quickly here. So you can live this out on the streets.
And if anybody is interested in missions abroad, come and see me. Our mission base is expanding. We need another physical location. We need to be training people up here. And also from overseas, coming here, and I believe the Lord's speaking to people about how to make these things come to pass. It starts with a vision, and then He provides what we need. I believe He already has, and I believe He's opening eyes for us to see. So, Lord, we just declare Your mission base here is being refreshed and renewed here as a worshipful house of prayer, mission base that goes all over the world, and that our eyes have been blessed today to in a new awareness for our own personal walks with you, to be able to see the harvest fields that are white and ripe and ready for harvest. So we thank you, Lord, for the harvesters in this house and what you're saying and doing, God, and what you've already provided vision for. And now we're going to step into it, and we're in that accelerated time. Let it be in Jesus' name. God bless you all. We did this in a few minutes on the plane from D.C. to Cleveland. I wasn't even really part of it. They just texted me what was going to happen. Well, there was an order. So I had no idea this was going to be like this to this degree. So take it as the Lord is saying, I love you, my beloved frontliners. I love you. I'm proud of you. Amen. We love you all. God bless you. And go with the love and fire of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Mission base, let it explode now. It's time. It's time. Physical needs will be met here. Time. Amen.